Welcome. It is so great to have you in worship today. So glad that we can continue on in the Not Anymore sermon series that we've been working through. Praise God that Jesus is risen from the dead, and because of that, nothing is the same anymore. He changes everything. And so the last couple of weeks, we have looked at how he has changed some things already in our lives. He once was dead, but he's not anymore, right? But today we're gonna look at the fact that sometimes we find ourselves kind of wandering around. I don't know about you, but I know for me, particularly through all of this social distancing stuff, I can lose track of days sometimes. Like there are times where I'll wake up in the morning and I will stay in those pajamas all day long, right? I might even have a plan to maybe get out of those pajamas at some point, but it just doesn't always happen, right? Maybe you're in the same boat. I know for me, it's even the temptation of, you know what, am I going to shave today or not? Because let's be honest, who's going to see me today, right? Do I really need to put like anything other than shorts on? Because even if I am doing some sort of like the noon retreat or some other type of thing like this, like most of the time people are only seeing my top half anyway, right? So, you know, I know for myself, I go through these questions of like, what's the point, right? What's the point of having to get actually dressed? What's the point of shaving? What's the point of fixing your hair maybe, or some of those things. Today, we're going to look at the fact that sometimes our lives can feel like we're constantly in this state of coronavirus, right? This social distancing. It can feel like maybe your life in general just feels like it doesn't really matter. Maybe your life feels like, you know what, it doesn't really matter if I try to advance myself in my job. It doesn't really matter if I'm trying to be a good parent. It doesn't really matter if I'm trying to be a good husband or a good wife. It doesn't really matter. No matter what I do, it just doesn't seem to matter. Well, today what I want us to really ask ourselves and wonder about is, what if it does matter? Like, what if your life really does matter? What if it matters that you think about why you do what you do? What if your life does matter tremendously? Today we're going to continue on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at how Paul really kind of broke down this idea of the fact that our lives matter. But before we get into that, I'd like for us to pray first. Lord God, thank you so much for your presence here with us. I thank you, Father, for your word, and I thank you, God, for speaking through your word even right now. I thank you, Lord, that you are real in this place right now, Father. I thank you that you are, your Holy Spirit is with us. No matter when it is that we are watching this, Father, we know that you are here with us right now. God, I just ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God, that your message would be proclaimed and that you would help each and every one of us, Father, to hear your voice and to respond by faith and obedience with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me read for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to start in verse 31. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 31. And this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And this is what he has to say here. He says, I face death every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, then what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So here, Paul is really looking at this whole argument. Remember that we've been talking about these last couple of weeks, that this idea that well, what if Jesus didn't actually raise from the dead? Like what does that mean for our lives? If maybe he was killed on the cross, but he wasn't actually risen. Like, what then? And what Paul is saying is that if Jesus didn't actually raise from the dead, then everything that he is doing is really pretty meaningless, right? Like, if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then who was it that met him on the road to Ephesus? Like, if Jesus isn't actually risen from the dead, then who is it that changed his life? If Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then why is he risking his life in all these different ways? See, for Paul, it's either Jesus is risen or there's really not much a point to all of this, right? If Jesus isn't raised from the dead, then what's the point? And to be honest with you, I think we could probably ask that question ourselves as well. Like, what's the point of prayer if Jesus isn't risen from the dead? I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Well, if he's not actually there, then what's the point of praying? What's the point of reading the Bible? I mean, particularly in the New Testament, the whole New Testament is basically, it all revolves around this one instance where not only did Jesus live this perfect life and died a perfect death, but that he is risen from the dead. Everything circles around that and focuses on that. If that isn't true, then why are we reading the Bible? For that matter, what's the point of joining in corporate worship? We come together to glorify God and to honor him, but if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then in some ways maybe it just feels like God has been lying to us. So why are we glorifying that? What joy do we have if Jesus is still dead? If he hasn't overcome death, then maybe there are still some things in our lives that he can't overcome. Like, what's the point of faith? What's the point of growing? What's the point of showing up together? What's the point if Jesus isn't risen from the dead? But there's another question that I think we probably need to ask ourselves, and that is that what if he is risen from the dead? Like, if he's actually risen, well then that really kind of paints in some of these pictures here, right? Like, because if he is risen from the dead, then we need to make sure that we are going after him in prayer. There's no one else to talk to. Like, if he is risen from the dead, then we need to get into this word as much as possible, because that's what's teaching us how to follow him and actually be disciples who make disciples. Like, if he is risen from the dead, then we need to be in a place of worship with corporately with other believers, praising God and exalting his holy name, because if God has defeated death on out for us so that we could be made new, we ought to be able to tell him thank you together in one voice. Like if Jesus is raised from the dead, then the point is that we need to follow after him and be disciples who make disciples, right? Like if he's risen from the dead, then we ought not be wandering anymore. We ought not be just drifting around here and there like we have no purpose. No, in fact, if Jesus has risen from the dead, then that means that we have all the purpose in the world, because Jesus died and was risen again for us to have and live in that purpose. So then let's continue on here in verse 33. And Paul says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. Number one, let me just say, you are not a bad person. All right? I know that for some of you, you may even be surprised to hear someone who looks like me, who's a pastor of a church, to tell you that you're not a bad person. You might even be thinking, oh, well, Pastor, you don't even know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. You don't even know what I was into just last night. And I'm just letting you know right now. All that still being the case, God created you in His image. And when He created, even back in the book of Genesis, it says that when He created, He looked at His creation and He said, that's good right there. He said, that is good. So no matter what kind of choices you have made in your life, I just want you to know, you are not a bad person. You are not bad company. You are not of bad character. But if you live like you have no purpose, you're going to find others who will do the same. And they're going to lead you away from all that God has for you. Catch this now, because this is so important. You are not a bad person. But if you surround yourself with people that are just wandering around with no purpose, and maybe you feel like that yourself. Maybe you feel like you're a person who's wandering around with no purpose. And I get that, and I want us to be able to process through some of that today. But if you surround yourself with other people like that as well, then let me just tell you, if you get a group full of people who have no purpose together, you're eventually going to find trouble. I mean, it's like if I leave my kids in my house and they get bored, like I can promise you in 5 minutes, they're gonna find trouble. They're gonna find something to get into. To be honest with you, if you leave me bored for too long, I'm probably gonna find some trouble myself, right? Like that's just kind of the nature of how we work here. Like if we surround ourselves with people who are just wandering around purposeless, then we're gonna find ourselves getting into things that don't have anything to do with God, that don't have anything to do with our best interest, that don't have anything to do with us growing in our lives, that don't have anything to do with the betterment of our society, and let alone the betterment of the kingdom of God. We're not bad people, but sometimes we surround ourselves with those that are just wandering around, and then we wonder why we feel lost. The second thing I want you to hear in these verses here in particular is that you don't have to keep sinning. And I know this might sound sort of strange, but you don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to keep following bad company, right? I get it, right? I know that for some people, like, you start talking along these lines, and one, just the idea of the fact that you can live without sinning almost sounds ridiculous, right? But here's what I want you to recognize. Jesus died on the cross, and through His shed blood, He provided for us the forgiveness of our sins, right? But when the Father raised Jesus from the dead, He overcame sin and death. And so what that means is that not only are we, through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgiven of the sin of our past when we put our faith in Jesus, but that faith in Jesus now, because Jesus is risen, actually empowers us to live lives outside of sin. See, we were not designed to sin. We're not designed to live outside of the will of God. We're actually designed to live in His will. And so long as we submit to Jesus by faith in Him, so long as we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we do not have to continue down that road. But here's the problem, is that the people who are around us, as Paul referred to here as the bad company, the people who are wandering around us that are living lives without purpose, we love those people, right? And sometimes if we begin to think that we're going to all of a sudden live what the Bible refers to as a holy life, as a life that is completely and totally focused on God, well, then what's going to happen to those people that we love so much? You know, I've got a friend of mine knew for a lot of years, and she was actually, because of some different situations that happened in life, she got mixed up with some of the wrong people. She actually began to turn to drugs and several substances to try to help her forget and just not feel anything. Because for her, not feeling was a lot better than feeling the hurt and the pain and the struggle. Well, she got connected with a guy who was able to get her a really good deal on pretty much anything that she wanted. And before long, not only was he like a supplier, if you will, but he became a boyfriend, right? They began to have this relationship, and obviously, as you can imagine, things didn't go very well there. But there were several conversations that I had with her where she shared with me, you know what, like I'm at a point where I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of being addicted to drugs. I'm tired of feeling like this all the time. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of wandering. That's really what she was saying. I'm tired of wandering around without purpose. But she didn't want to leave her boyfriend behind. She kept asking, well, what's he going to do? Like, if I begin to follow Jesus, if I begin to leave this stuff behind, well, then who's going to be there for him? Like, who's going to bring him along? Like, who's going to help him? And unfortunately, her addiction to drugs took her life. And we didn't hear from him anymore. And it cost her that relationship. And that pull to that relationship cost her life. See, I'm not saying that the people around you are bad, but if they don't know God, they can't lead you to your purpose. I'm not saying that the people around you are bad company, right? I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm not even saying that they're going to hell or anything like that. I'm not here to judge anybody. But I am saying that there may be some people around you that are not leading you to God's purpose for your life. And the more you're around these people, the more you're just going to feel like you're wandering. And the reason for that is because you're putting your value in these relationships when you really ought to be putting all that value in how God sees you. See, the people around you, they can't define your value. They shouldn't define your value. But God actually created you. And not only did he create you, but he sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross and be risen from the dead in order that you might be recreated, that you might be reborn, that you might ask for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might seek to follow him. And the Bible tells us that when we do that, when we submit our lives to him, we are made brand new creations. Again, we are reborn in Jesus Christ. If we're going to get there, if we're going to leave this wandering behind and actually live for Jesus, then we have to recognize that there are some people that are not going that same direction. And it is more important for us to find our purpose in God than it is for us to put all of our value into the people that are around us. Paul finishes this verse off by saying, he says to the Corinthian church, I say all of this to shame you. Now, some of you, particularly if you have not really been a part of the church, or maybe this is your first time watching a service with Houston First here. Maybe you're thinking, okay, now this is what I'm used to the church sounding like. Okay, here he's saying all this just to make people feel bad. Well, actually, not exactly. See, so the most common understanding of shame that's in the New Testament is a feeling of fear which prevents a person from doing a certain thing, right? Just because you feel bad and because you're afraid of the consequences, it keeps you from doing certain things. Like, for example, in Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And so the idea here is that if you were ashamed of the gospel, that you'd be afraid of what might happen to you if you told other people about Jesus, or that you would feel bad about sharing good news with others because you're not really sure how others are going to be looking at you. You'd be ashamed, right? Now, what's interesting here is that Paul actually uses another word, totally different word, here, which actually literally means to turn in upon oneself in order to produce a recoil from that which is vile. Let me show you what I mean here. So you can kind of think of this almost like a catapult, right? So with a catapult, you have this area here where it hinges, right? And at this hinge, there is tension that happens. And so what Paul is saying here is that he's creating this tension. He's causing us to look in on ourselves. He's pulling that catapult back. But he's doing that so that with that tension that is caused, there is a recoil that happens in order to snap that forward and project out whatever it is that catapult might be trying to send on its way. See, church, I want you to recognize here that what Paul is saying to the Corinthian church here is that he's not just trying to make them feel bad, but actually what he's trying to do is he's trying to get them to look into themselves as he's saying these things. He's trying to get them to look into themselves so that they wouldn't continue to live like that anymore. In other words, what he's saying is, you guys have too much purpose in your life to continue on with this kind of mentality. You have too much purpose in your life to continue on with this kind of thinking or this kind of feeling in your heart. There's too much good in your life. You are good people. You need to be living in the purpose of God. And so what he's doing is he's creating this tension. He's bringing this shame, if you will, not to make them feel bad, but to cause the recoil, to cause that thing to get rid of the sin that's in their lives, to get rid of the wrong thinking, to get rid of the hurt in their heart, to get rid of everything that would keep them from who God has created and recreated them to be. See, church, I need you to hear this today. My goal is not to make you feel bad. The goal of the church is not to make you feel bad. No, no, no. The goal of the church is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you receive that good news, it is going to cause a change in you. It's going to cause a recoil in you. It's going to cause you to recognize that some things need to go and other things need to come in. And until that recoil happens, you're just going to continue wandering like you were before. And I guess my question to you today is, are you tired of wandering? Are you tired of just living a life that in the end really doesn't have any purpose? Aren't you tired of just feeling like you just get up, go to work, go home, and go to bed? Aren't you tired of wandering? Like, what if today was the day when you said, you know what? I've been wandering around my whole life, and I'm not wandering anymore. I've been just floating around. Even when I was in school, I would just do whatever my friends thought I should be doing. But you know what? I'm not wandering around anymore. I'm gonna live a life of purpose. Like, what if you decided that you recognize that your family is not just there for you to kind of wander around and go through the motions? But what if you recognize that God has you in your family in order that you might live out His purposes for you there, that you might raise up your family to follow after God? Like, what if instead of just wandering around and believing that everything just has to drift around here or there, what if you recognize that God has purpose for your life? What if you recognize that your life is not just about watching the next show or catching the next tweet or getting the next like or seeking more follows? But what if you recognize that, like, Jesus rose from the dead so that you wouldn't have to wander anymore? So you wouldn't have to feel like you're invisible anymore. You don't have to feel like you're forgotten anymore. You don't have to feel like you're neglected anymore. Like, you are loved and cherished by God. You have purpose in your life. Today's the day we need to rise up, even as Christ is risen, to walk, to live in that purpose. So let's produce that recoil in our lives and say, you know what? I'm not wandering anymore. No, no, no. Now I'm giving everything to the Lord. So what can we do then? How can we actually move forward in this way? Well, the first thing that I want you to do is I actually want you to ask yourself, do I truly believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, and was risen from the dead. And with this, like, right now, you might be at a place where you say, just honestly say, you know what, I don't know if I do really believe all of that. And that's, right now, that's okay. But you need to know where you are there. You need to know if you really believe this. And this is not just for people who are new to this whole church thing, but this is for everybody. Like, this is even for people who've been a part of the church for a long time. Like in your life, do the choices that you're making, do they reflect the fact that you actually believe that Jesus died and rose again? Because if you still feel like you're just wandering around without purpose, then you might need to really evaluate, like, do you really believe that Jesus rose from the dead for you and for me? The second thing that I want you to do is I actually want you to talk to somebody else about this, right? Maybe just in the room where you are right now, maybe there's somebody else with you, or maybe there's a friend of yours that you can talk with, that maybe you already talk about spiritual things together, or maybe there's somebody who invited you to watch this video. I want to encourage you to have a conversation about, and not just about, oh, well, do I believe that Jesus is risen from the dead or he's not risen from the dead, but the conversation I want you to have is, does it feel like you're wandering around in life? And if it does, like, what are you willing to do to interrupt that? And maybe it doesn't. Maybe you feel like you are living a life of purpose already, whether you're a believer or not. But I really want you to have a conversation with somebody about what it might look like to really accept the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. Maybe together in that conversation, you can just ask each other, like, what if Jesus is risen from the dead? Like, how would that change what I do and how I behave and the choices that I make? Like, if Jesus is risen from the dead, then what would that mean for me in my life, in my family, in my habits, in my choices? What would it mean if Jesus really is risen from the dead? And then finally, I just want to encourage you to just surround yourself with good company. Now, I realize that I'm probably a little biased here, but I'm one who actually thinks that the Houston First Church of God is some really good company. Like, I love our family. I love our church family. Like, you need to know that. Like, and I found that particularly in this time of social distancing, like, I love these people more than I ever have loved them. And I miss them so much, even just having simple conversations and those kinds of things, being able to study God's word together, like, in the same room and those kinds of things, right? Like, you need to know we are a family, and we've got our issues just like any family has issues. Like, You're not gonna join this family and then find that everybody here is perfect. We're just not. We might even be a little more messed up than you are, but the point is, we're family. We're here for each other. We're good company, so that we can all lead each other closer to Jesus, so that we can all remind each other that Jesus is risen from the dead, so that we can all remind one another that because Jesus is risen, like, we've got something to live for. We have purpose, and it's all given to us in God's word. Like, that's what family does. We love each other. And I really want to invite you to be a part of this family as well. There's a lot of ways to connect with Houston First, and I really want to encourage you to go to our website, hfcog.org, and there's a special page we've made here just in these last couple of months. That's hfcog.org/churchonline. There you can find all kinds of resources on how to connect with Bible studies, how to get your kids and your youth involved with other students and that are trying to go after Jesus as well. There's ways that you can get involved in serving. You know, right now we're looking for people to help in different types of media, from camera operators to social media and graphic design, all kinds of things. Search. I just want you to know, like, there's a place for you to be with good company. There's a place for you to be with God's people. And it isn't always going to feel perfect, but it is going to feel like love. And it is going to point you to your purpose. And in the end, it's going to empower you to be able to go back to people that you love so much, even right now, and to be able to share good news with them as well. I want to encourage you, if God is speaking into your life right now, I want you to do something about it, right? I want you to I want you to set up even right now and to figure out, maybe you need to get your phone out and text somebody and say, hey, I'm gonna call you and have a conversation about what this preacher's talking about here right now. I'm gonna call you in 15 minutes. When all this is done, I'm gonna call you and we're gonna talk through this. Or better yet, here's what you can do. On Sunday evening, so tonight at 7 o'clock, if you're watching this on Sunday, it's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock. We're going to do a Meet the Pastor event. And this is where I'm just going to introduce myself. I'm going to talk a little bit about the church. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. You can come with the person who invited you. We're going to do like a Zoom call kind of thing. And just let everybody come in there and just so that you get a chance to know me, like the real me, not just like somebody behind a camera kind of thing. But like we can get to know each other and see that we really are good company. I want to invite you into the family. But I'll tell you, the way that you really get into the family is by submitting your life to Jesus Christ. That's why we really get in. It's a matter of accepting the fact that, you know what, we're sinners in need of a Savior. It's believing that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And it's confessing to everybody that you know that Jesus is your Savior, confessing your sin before Him, seeking out that forgiveness. And the Bible tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive us no matter what we've done. I am so excited for you to live in the purpose that God has created and recreated you to live in. And I hope that today is the day that you step forward and say, I'm not wandering around anymore. No, today is the day that I begin to live in the purpose that Jesus rose from the dead for me to live in. Today is your day. Let's rise up. Follow Him. Pray with me. Lord God, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You, Father, for the purpose that You have given us through Jesus Christ. I thank You, Father, for the forgiveness that comes through His shed blood on the cross. I thank You, Lord, that You are moving us out of this stage of wandering around, Lord, in order that we might be able to live lives of purpose for You. God, I thank You for loving us. I ask, God, that You would help us to submit our lives to You in every single way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.